It began with Lou Lamoriello's the announcement that Lou Lamoriello will not be back as general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Surprised or not surprised around the table, Brunt?
I was a little surprised. Of course, we didn't know the terms of his contract until they were revealed when it was revealed he would not be coming back. And that apparently is how this thing was planned and written.
Yeah, but it could have been changed.
Could have been changed. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it's an interesting point to make, or time to make the transition. You know, obviously that was going to happen at some point in this in the grand Shanna plan that is unfolding before us. But yeah, I think like a lot of people, I thought it might be another year, might be another 2 years before that happened.
Mm. So, Ryan, surprised? Not surprised.
Not.
Want to explain?
Would you like me to?
I would like you to. Yes.
We have 2 hours, Brian.
Well, this was kind of common knowledge in the hockey community that this was going to happen for like the last 2 months. And probably why no one talked about it is we all figured Lou knew. No reason to bring it to anyone's attention. No reason to talk about it. But I know Nick Kypreos. I heard him raise it on the radio 4 or 5 weeks ago. So I wasn't surprised at all. My understanding was that this was the plan. I did not hear what Steven said about that. They said this was the way the contract was written. Mm-hmm. But this is our understanding of what was going to happen. So, no, none of us in the hockey community were surprised at all.
Although, we have to acknowledge that Shanahan did have the opportunity to change that plan if he saw fit and decided not to.
Right, but the chain of events that I've been led to believe, and again, I have not talked to Lou. I've texted with him. I texted with Shanny, but have not talked to him. So, but I can tell you the chain of events that I was told took place last summer was Colorado Avalanche asked for permission to speak to Kyle Dubas.
Right.
About the vacant GM job. He was granted that permission by the Toronto Maple Leafs, went, interviewed the job, was offered the job, and then the Leafs said, no, you can't take it. We gave you permission to interview, but not take the job. Mm. But in return, Kyle was pretty upset, and they said, in return, we'll guarantee you that you will be the GM here in a year. Mm-hmm. So that's a story we all heard. Now, I'm not vouching for that story. It certainly looks like it's playing out that way.
Sure does.
But and I have no problem with Kyle Dubas going behind the that door. Like, I think he's a real sharp guy. Yeah, he's young, but youth is, a lot of people have done great things when they're young. So I don't.
When were you a first manager? How old were you?
37.
Yeah. Not much older, really.
Well, for Edmonton fans, it's 6 years older.
Poke the bear one more time.
Yeah, why not?
See, I mean, surprising may not be the word. I'm disappointed. Because I don't think this team is at the maturation level yet that it doesn't need a guy like Lou Lamoriello around. I think that there still needs to be a need for someone like with Lou's wisdom and his ability to run a room and his ability to guide people. And that to me is the part of this equation that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, we can sit here all we want and say, you know, these were the terms of the contract, but this to me reeks a little bit of one person lobbying Brendan to say, we don't need him around. And that person's Mike Babcock. And I suspect that there's something to be said for that, and we talked about this on Monday when it happened, that four-person committee, not three-person mm-hmm. committee, that four-person committee of Brendan, Kyle, Lou, Mark, and Mike. I guess that's five. That committee was running the team, and Mike, I think, needs to feel that he needs a bigger voice, and his voice will be bigger without Lou there.
So it's a given that Kyle Dubas is the next general manager? Because that, again, is not what Shanahan said. Shanahan said he hasn't addressed that question yet.
I'll take what Brian just said to the bank. That sounds like that's the story.
I would tend to, too. Every evidence points to that. So that's going to be Kyle Dubas,
and that scenario makes sense. You know that they were pushed to.
It might have been a promise.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and on the other hand, since Monday, the amount of times Kyle Dubas's name has been mentioned as the heir apparent, there's been no pushback from the organization, even publicly or privately. There's been no pushback.
I kind of wonder what if this does. You know, if this is how it's going to play out. You know, that structure. You know, has worked really well, right? You know, Shanahan, Lou, Dubas, and Hunter, and Babcock. It's not hierarchical because, you know, Babcock's in the middle of that somewhere, but that has worked. When you pull that one, It's one, like one of those puzzles. When you pull that one piece out of
Jenga.
There. Yeah, it's Jenga.
Yeah, that's does the whole thing fall down?
That's what I wonder, because, you know, I don't. It's going to be an interesting conversation with Hunter, obviously, because he's not, you know, sometimes when you are not given the job,
To the Jenga point, you know, if you pull one piece out, that's one thing, but you're probably pulling two pieces out.
You might be, yeah. You might be.
Because the consensus is Hunter will not stay.
And I wonder, you know, when Lou is a consultant, I'm not sure what that means. You know, we've talked about this. I would like to be a consultant. I would like to be paid by someone to consult on something.
And I think that's essentially what this is about. I mean, Cliff Fletcher is still a consultant to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. Do we believe that Cliff Fletcher has a voice that is, I mean, it's not that it's not heard, but is he impactful in the room? Well, you were there when Cliff was in the room.
I consulted Cliff on every major decision, but you're right in the sense that at the end of the day, if there's three people in the room making the vote, it would be Dave Nonis and me and Dave Poulin or someone else. Like,
right.
So you're right. Not, maybe not a vote, but certainly a lot of influence.
So do you need two of those guys? Because it doesn't appear that Cliff Fletcher is going to, you know,
yeah, I don't
God
know.
Willing, isn't going anywhere.
Again, I tried to see Brendan today. I was down there for another meeting, and I tried to see him. He was busy and legitimately busy. He wasn't ducking. And so I don't really know. I'll find out more. But like I say, this story was circulating quite freely from people that I trust in the business 2 months ago.
Right. All right, two more questions on this front. Do you think Hunter stays?
Well, I hope he does. I mean, usually the way you get someone to stay is you give them a bigger title and more money, and the Hunters don't need money. They got $2 less than God. So I don't think that's a motivating factor. I think if he is a man of principle, and if he's taking that position, I can see him walking. He's as stubborn as I am.
Yep.
And I can see that. And he's done a good job here. So, I mean, I think that ultimately they'll work it out. I think Brendan's a smart guy. I think Brendan's probably figured a way to settle everyone in on this, and I think it'll work out.
Yeah, I mean, not to poke the embers of the fire, who's to say the new general manager wants him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, that when you change the organization chart, you change the organizational chart. And who knows?
Don't know what the relationship is between the two of them.
I think we assume it's amicable. But the thing that I find fascinating about all of the relationships that we talk about is that Kyle still was the general manager of Sault Ste. Marie, and Mark was the general manager in London, and London and Sault Ste. Marie hated each other. And there are always those simple rivalries and personalities in people that you have to wonder about.
Well, plus I think sometimes, John, there's a balance, right? Like the personalities counterbalance each other. So I was going back to the kind of the structure that you had some strong people in there.
And by the way, yeah. Stephen, that's why Lou was brought in.
As a counterbalance.
Because they had a committee that wasn't necessarily the boat wasn't rowing in the same direction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they brought him in as a guy who, and you know, a guy who was there to establish the culture, you know, however you want to define it, right? That's one of the things Lou does.
Right.
Put his stamp on it very directly. And you know, now some of that maybe we're skewed a little bit because on our side of the fence you see the Lou culture very directly if you're in the media. That's one of, you know, it's one of the places it turns up. But you know, again, there was a series of, you know, it wasn't just titles. It was, you know, there's, again, balance. Yeah. And I wonder if you know, where the power shifts now. I guess that's the question.
Well, there's the other thing. Experience is a big factor in this, too. I mean, even though Dubas has been with the Maple Leafs for several years now, he is young and doesn't have a wide breadth of experience. Hunter, while he's had a lifetime in hockey, was new to the organization at that point. And Shanahan even would have to acknowledge that, as a president, he had no experience. Well, bringing Lou in provided that resume of this is what I have done, this is what I've accomplished. He's been through all of the wars, seen, you know, sometimes he's done a good job, sometimes he hasn't done a good job. But he had the experience. He had the ability to show these guys who hadn't been in this position for long periods of time essentially how to do it. And now Lou moves out. So part two of this question is, does Lou wind up as a consultant or does he get a job somewhere else? Does somebody come knocking at the door and saying, hey, Lou, we'll give you a 3-year contract. Come and be president or general manager or both of our organization. What do you think, Berkey?
I'm not sure. I mean, you talk about the experience and a new guy and a young guy learning. it's kind of the same model we set up in Calgary. And I remember when I took the job and talked to Ken King about it, he said, well, we'll examine it every year and see if you're happy and still happy or want to go back and be a GM or if we're happy. So we met each year and said, okay, it's working, it's working. And this year they said, well, we'd like to take a look at it. And I, you know, I said, I understand. Like, our GM's been on the job now for... At this point, he's got 4 years in. I think he's done a really good job, and I think he's just going to get better. They brought Don Maloney onto the staff, so he's got some gray hair there to help him. And I said, it might be time. So we worked out an amicable thing and parted ways by mutual agreement, and I could see the same thing here. If you've worked beside Lou for 3 years, you should have picked up something.
Oh, yeah.
You should have picked up
a lot.
You
better have. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, hey, what do you think?
I'll tell you what, I talked to a few people inside the organization on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I asked them how difficult Monday was. And I was shocked to know that they were shocked. And they admitted that it was a tough day. And for people inside the organization, inside this organization with the secrecy that it has created, to suggest it was a tough day tells you that they liked Lou. And they're sad to see Lou leave because of that structure that he had created and that accountability that he had created. And now there's, and it goes back to the word you used, Steve, and that imbalance. Is there an imbalance now in that front office that they're going to have to address somehow, some way? So from that perspective, I admit I'm a Lou supporter. I've known him a long time. I haven't known him as long as Brian, and I have nothing but admiration for the man. And
same here. But that to me is immaterial to this discussion.
No, I understand.
In the sense that I owe Lou a lot. I mean, I played for him. I went there as an 18-year-old kid. I was green as hell. 10 kids in my family, 4 in college, 4 in university when I went there. I walked on as a freshman. He got me a half scholarship, second year, full, last huge money to our family. Turned me into a man. Never thought I'd get a chance to play pro hockey. I did. Never planned on going to law school. I did. He made me take the application, take the course. So I owe the guy big time. I agree with you. I admire him greatly. To me, you're putting something together, a management team. The fact that he's had a great career and been a great guy, and we all admire him. What does this team need right now? And okay, if we think we're going to lose Kyle over this, we're not going to lose Kyle over this. You walk.
Well, no, I understand that. I'm saying that that this team hasn't. I don't believe this team's is mature enough to do that yet. And that's my point in all this. Is I don't have to tell you. That's what happens. People start to overestimate where they are, what growth they have. I mean, this team won one more played one more playoff game than it did last year.
Well, there's another point to this. You have a whole bunch of critical decisions that are going to have to be made in the next few months. You have 3 players who you think very highly of who are going to be looking for their first real contracts.
The word is home run. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to manage that. Lou Lamoriello has a history of managing that. To the point of having, I think we would all have confidence in his ability to do that. I'm not saying Kyle Dubas can't do that. I just don't have any idea. I don't know what Kyle Dubas is going to be like in the room with the agent saying, my guy wants $12.5 million. And are you prepared to give him that? Because you can't give all 3 of them $12.5 million. You can't come even close to that. Not that they'd be worth it. But...
Yeah, although it gets into
this is an awkward time to bring in a raw rookie. Forget that he's 31 years old; just hasn't done this.
But it's not going to be him alone, Bob. No, right? I don't know the lines of demarcation of Brendan Shanahan's job, but you know,
has Shanny done this?
No, he hasn't. But he's the guy; he's in charge of the situation, right?
And you know darn well that ownership will be involved somehow.
I was just going to ask about that because you know. Brian, you know, and you too, John, you've been around that organization, but does ownership care about the fine points of this, or do they wash their hands of it and say, Brendan, you're our guy, go ahead and do whatever you got to do?
Somewhere in between that.
Okay.
They're regular board meetings. They're informed what's going on. Through Mr. Freestyle, they know what's going on. But as far as day-to-day, certainly when I was here, I had my way, just subject to budget and speaking to Richard Petty before major moves, et cetera. But I think the answer would be, yes, they've got some major financial decisions, and they're going to have to divide a pie, and how they divide it is the key. So I think that's a valid question to ask. Has this guy got the experience to do it? But Lou's still on as a consultant. I can't imagine they're not going to consult him about that.
I'll grant you that, but I'm betting, Berkey, that he's not a consultant for much longer. I may be dead wrong, but I don't have the sense that he is particularly happy with this decision. He is quoted as saying, you know, this is the deal I made, this is what I agreed to, and I'm going to honor that deal as long as I'm here, which means he can walk. If somebody else picks up the phone and calls Lou Lamoriello and offers him something that he finds intriguing, he can go. And the Leafs can't do anything about it. So his counsel...
Well, no, the Leafs...
could
they
disappear.
Actually have to phone the Maple Leafs for permission to talk to him.
And you think that won't be granted?
Well, I'm sure it would. But
yeah, well,
I mean,
that's the point. He can walk. If he gets another opportunity, he'll walk. Assuming he wants another opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I have no sense... You talk to him more than I do.
Yeah,
Do you have a sense that he's done?
The one, Bob, how many times have we asked him over the last 8 months about contract issues and
I know.
Bounces off? The one thing I would say is that then you hit it right off the top is that Lou agreed to this.
That's
Lou
right.
Put his name to it. Lou will live with it until something changes.
Exactly.
And so, like if he signed a 4-year deal as a consultant, which he did apparently 3 years ago, then he'll be the consultant until further notice. And he will take their money, and he will be involved, and he will be here. But the bottom line is he won't have the final say anymore. And that's something that you have to be concerned about, I think.